Hey you, I got a question for you. What are you doing in June? Specifically, the 10th to the 14th. Well, if you're wondering why I'm asking you this, it's because I've got my next Mexico retreat happening in Tulum in Mexico for 4 nights, 5 days this June. Now, this whole event will be like being my best friend because we're going to be hanging out in 5-star luxury. This retreat is all about embodiment. It's about rapid growth using transformational human design and at the same time, living in the lap of luxury. So spend 5 days with me in an intimate setting, discovering your purpose, sitting poolside, having deep conversations and connecting with like-minded people who will become your lifelong friends. And honestly, it's like being my best friend for a week. So if you're curious, it's important that you know if you join before April 22nd, you'll get 1 month free in HDX. And the next 4 people who join are going to get a free 60-minute unpack session with one of my extraordinary coaches. Sound good? Well, it really is that good. At the end of the day, I want to spend this time with you deep diving into your human design while having the greatest transformations and breakthroughs of your life. And let's be honest, probably mine too. See you in Tulum. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks, where I show you exactly how to live your design. Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. I am super excited to have Tiana Baxter here with me today as my final type podcast as the reflector. And I'm so freaking excited to have this conversation with you, Tiana. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So tell the listeners just a little bit about yourself before I, because I really can't, you know, keep this enthusiasm of mine under control much longer. I've got so many questions. I want to dive down the rabbit hole with you, but please do tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, no worries. So I am a reflector, as you've mentioned. I'm a 5-2 profile reflector. I actually got to work with you, Emma, in your mastermind, which was just the game changer for me in being a reflector, but also just in human design, which has been so phenomenal in, you know, my new business and in life and everything that I've done. That has just been absolutely incredible. So I just want to honor you and thank you for that firstly. But yeah, I'm a 37-year-old mum. I have 2 beautiful girls. I have 2 projected children. I have an emotional generator husband. And actually interesting, as a family, they all make up a completely defined chart and then I'm the reflector all open. So we've sort of got yin and yang going on in our household.
Wow, love it. I love it. Oh my goodness, it's so, so exciting to have you here. So I'm going to dive in with a little bit of teaching first before I start asking lots of questions. And obviously when we talk about the reflector, this is, you know, it's really interesting actually, straight off the bat, it's really interesting because the thing you hear about reflectors is they're like, they're unique, they're the unicorn, they're, you know, so special. And it's almost like so many reflectors are like, stop it, stop calling me that. Like, do you have a resonance of that? Tell me about that. Please help me understand.
Yes, I do. It's really interesting when you hear, you know, human design coaches or just people talking about it and they go through all the types. And every time they get to the reflector, they go, our beautiful reflectors. It's like, and for so long, I didn't resonate with being a reflector and I almost didn't want to be one. because I thought, I don't want to be this beautiful little fairy dust. You know, I'm more of a human than that. So I do resonate with that. However, I do understand that we are the minority. You know, we are the less than 1%. So I understand why it's spoken about like that. But every time I hear it, I cringe a little bit.
Yeah, I love it. And you know what? You've totally, you know, having the opportunity to work with you for 3 months, you've blown up any stereotype that I had about a reflector. Like, you are a, you know, powerful human being. You really, really are. And that's why I'm super excited to have you on the podcast, so that we can blow up some of that stuff. So let's jump into what makes a reflector. Well, a reflector has no defined centers whatsoever within their design, meaning that if you're looking at your chart, you're going to see lots of what we call hanging gates. So black and red activations in some of the gates, but no centers that are colored in. And fundamentally, what that means is that reflectors don't have any consistent or reliable energy centers that are there to rely on all the time. It means that their energy shifts and changes dependent on the people that they're around, the environments that they're in. And one of the things that I've just been blown away, and I'm so excited, we've got the reflector panel happening in the membership this week as well. And I'm really excited to have you meet Johanna, because something that you all do that I've noticed, sorry, I shouldn't say you all the reflectors that I've met and worked with do, is you guys have this amazing ability to see what I language see energy coming. It's like future forecasting. It's almost like, yeah, it's crazy. Does that resonate with you? Do you want to actually put some meat on those bones for me?
Yeah, Emma, you've put that in the best way to describe it, but it is, it's almost, I used to call it, I could predict, you know, the future. But what I've learned is it's not so much predicting an outcome, it's predicting the energy that's coming. You know, we could be going out for dinner and I can almost feel the energy of what the restaurant is going to be before I walk into it, before I'm even in the restaurant. And I used to think that was just a mindset game that I had going on. But now I've become really clear, especially since starting my business and having clients come in, before I even get on the call with them, I'm already aware as to what energy they're going to be and therefore what I need to bring to the table in that call. It's definitely what I would say one of our skills as being a reflector, but you can feel it. It's not even a known. It's more like a feeling that you get.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love it. And I'm fascinated by it because it really is this, it seems like it's predictory, like you said, but it's a whole another level. It's almost like when an aura or an environment are destined to come across you, it's like you can start reading it. And it's not necessarily like reading it in details. Like you said, it's just like this knowing that, oh, okay, this is where we're going. And I just think it's freaking magical. I love that. So when we're talking about reflectors, obviously one of the first things we talk about is their 28-day moon cycle that they need to make decisions. And the reason why that is the case is because what we want to look for to make decisions is consistent energy below the neck. Now, for a reflector, one of the highly recommended best ways to do this is that you want to follow the way the moon moves through your cycle over the 20, sorry, moves through your chart over the 28 days of the moon cycle. So what's going to happen is that every month or every 28 days, it's going to replicate. Okay. So the moon's going to go through the same gates at the same sort of time. So you're going to know that on day 3, you might have sacral energy, and on day 15, you might have mental energy or whatever it is. So you can start to map out some consistencies. Tiana, tell me, when you first learned that you had to wait this 28 days, how did that feel? How did that feel to you?
It felt incredibly restrictive. I was ready to go, done with human design. I'm not a reflector. It's wrong. My birth time's wrong. I asked my mum 5 times. It did feel incredibly restrictive, but it's definitely not now.
Yeah. So tell me about that. How have you really learned to trust it? And what are the results? Like, how are the results in your life specifically different now that you are super aware of that 28-day cycle?
Yeah. So and even when I had learned, I wouldn't trust it because I do move fast. And also, you know, I have a generator husband. I'm surrounded by, you know, 70% of the population, which is generators. I've grown up with manifest and generator brothers. So I have always, my whole life, been conditioned to be fast and to be an energy type when I'm a non-energy type. So I was making decisions in the moment. And a lot of the time they were probably yeses that were no's and no's that were yeses. Since waiting now, and even now I still go, oh, I don't want to wait, but for big decisions, so much happens in that month where I'm so clear and I have a clarity point at 7 days in and I go, yes, this is it. But I still know if I give it another 3 weeks, another few days, it's a game changer in the result and so much changes. One, the people who are going to be involved in the decision change, everything around me changes. So now I'm almost empowered to slow down, which is something you taught me loud and clear.
Love it.
But the slowing down was almost what my nervous system needed as well as a reflector. And so the results are phenomenal, you know, and I think we were speaking before we started the podcast, the results in my life at the moment are just everything's firing on all cylinders, but I'm probably the best mentally and physically I've ever been.
Yeah, I love that. But it's so counterintuitive. You know, we even sort of hear this from the projectors and emotional manifestors and even emotional generator types. Like, no one wants to slow down. However, when we slow down and we honor this authority, everything changes. And I think one of the things that I've definitely seen from my experience is that it gives the universe the time she needs to get all the pieces into place. And I think one of the things with reflectors is one thing I have learned is that I had this assumption that you guys, kind of what you alluded to before, with these delicate little butterflies. And I would go as far to say that you're the opposite. You know, I there's definitely a resiliency about the reflectors that I've met and that I've worked with that just, you know, like I can really relate to that signature of surprise and delight. Like these people do tend to sort of bounce around in life. And they also tend to be, in my experience now, a lot more resilient. Does that resonate with you?
Oh, definitely. And I think the one thing I wanted to mention as well is when you, being a reflector, or even if you're someone with an open chart, like quite an open chart, I have found that tracking the transits really important for me to know where my energy's at, especially like when I know, for example, solar plexus is lit up by transit and then husband, I'm kind of really conscious of that energy. So I think for any reflector that is listening, track your transits because that's the big game changer as well. Yeah. But the resilience, it's a muscle that's built over time. And I think for me in particular, I'm still learning. Like I've still said yes to things that, you know, or made decisions around things that aren't, probably haven't waited quite the 28 days, but I always get left with that disappointment, which we know is the not self theme for reflectors. Mm. And then on the flip side of that, I've also noticed a huge theme that I've been playing into was controlling outcomes because I didn't want to feel disappointed. Not because I wanted to control it. I wanted to be surprised, but the feeling of being disappointed was worse than the good feeling of feeling surprised.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of my time in this shadow self of just control it so you don't get that disappointed feeling. Because for me as a reflector, that is the word, like I would rather feel sad than I would rather feel disappointed. Disappointment is just the worst feeling in the world.
Oh my God, I love that. I was going to ask about that. And you have nailed it. Like the human brain is going to do more to avoid pain than it is to achieve, to experience pleasure. You know, like this is our default setting. This is, as human beings, we are living in our conditioning a lot of the time. So I love that you've just made that. That awareness that actually, if you lean into that fear of being disappointed, give it time and space, then the likelihood is that you will end up with that surprise delight and feel a lot better about it. Love it. All right. So tell me a little bit about, I just have to check my questions. We'll edit that bit out. All right. So, being a non-energy being, obviously we talk about non-energy beings as anyone without a sacral, but there is this other level to being a reflector because there's no consistent energy within you. Two things. I want to talk about how you manage your energy and restore your energy. But before that, I want to talk to the point many of you out there might have read about how reflectors can be a little bit like Teflon. I'm not sure I like that wording, but what that means in my experience and for me is that they just have this ability to sort of let things either wash over them or let things go a little bit more easily. Do you want to talk a little bit to other people's energy and whether or not you identify with it, hold on to it, because ultimately that's what it's about. The other types do have this almost like default setting that where they have an open center, they start to identify with that energy, becomes a part of their not self, becomes a part of their ego, and then they have to decondition from that. Now, I'm not saying that reflectors don't have to decondition, because they have to decondition as much as the rest of us. However, what I've seen and what I've read is that there is this level of, you know, like almost that the energy does move over them or through them or past them a little bit more easily, or they don't identify with it as much. Do you have any idea why that might be?
Yeah, it's interesting, because when I first learned about human design and being a reflector, I assumed that I absorbed energy a bit like the projector. So I was like, well, I'm open, I absorb energy. And I've worked out over time, I definitely don't identify with other people's energy. So I could be in a group setting, but I certainly feel it. And I feel it at that amplified version. So they might be, say, in 10% of a mood. So if I use my husband, emotional solar plexus, he might be in a 10% of mood. I feel that at like 50, 60%. I don't identify with it. I'm very clear that it's not mine, but I still need time out to sort of get rid of it. I feel a little bit funky. If I've been in a room full of people, even if the mood's good, I feel like I've got a lot of energy buzzing through my body. It's almost like all the wiring systems going haywire, like through my body. So I need to spend like at least 10, 15 minutes away, out, zone out before bed or whatever's happening for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So I definitely don't think we identify with it. It doesn't feel like it soaks in, but you can feel it in your aura. It's almost in your space, but it's not inside you.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. So well articulated. That's what I'd imagined it was like, but you don't know until you actually live it, right? So tell me about your energy. You are a super busy mum, you know, in corporate with a hefty job. You have your business, you're a wife, you've got so many things going on. I love this because it completely blows up that stereotype of the reflector that can't do much. So what I'd love to talk to is your energy. So you feel other people's energy, you don't identify with it, but tell me, now that you know what you know about the way your energy works, how do you manage your energy? And then maybe even lead into how you regenerate and restore your energy. And then maybe we can get to some boundaries, like what have you created to make sure that you put boundaries in place to maintain what you need to be at your best?
Yeah, I love that question, because being told when you are, and especially when you're conditioned to think you're a generator, being told you're a non-energy type feels restrictive. And my life, to what you mentioned, is busy, but I'm also very physically busy as well. I love my gym and my sport and everything. So what I've come to learn is things that light me up, so things I genuinely enjoy, I have all the energy in the world for. So, you know, going, I know when we first met, you said, how do you do all that? You're a reflector. You know, going to the gym, being in a room full of people, you know, having them light up, you know, especially my sacral, having that energy around me is something that I could do every day and not feel the need to have time out. Where I've noticed, though, that needing to have boundaries or a little bit of time out is when I'm reading energy. So when I'm just amongst the energy, I'm good. I can be amongst it. It's, you know, it lights me up, especially if it's something I love doing. That energy, I could pretty much keep up with a generator to a degree. It's when I notice that I'm actually reading energy and I'm, you know, really helping people move to a certain part in their life or business, and I'm reading and preempting and predicting, that's when I know that energy is so precious that it needs to be, I need boundaries around that. So I make sure for my business, for example, I do no more than 3 one-on-one calls a day, because that's that energy that it's just, it's completely, each person's getting the full energy of my reflectiveness as well. From a boundary point of view with my family, each night, every morning, firstly, I get up. So I'm up at 5 a.m. But that is because that first hour is me time. That's restorative. So although it sounds like, well, you're not sleeping, restorative for me is, you know, my meditation. It's my card pulls. It's anything that I want to do for me. Even just having my cup of coffee on my own without anyone around me is really important.
Yeah, I love that. And I love what you just said, that you get up at 5 a.m. because I just had this discussion today. That I want to blow up that myth for all types, that we can still do hard things, even though we're living in alignment with our design. You know, I'm getting up early again. Like I couldn't help myself. I'm rereading the 5 a.m. Club, and I love the book. I bloody love Robin Sharma. And it just reminds me that I think sometimes in human design, people use their energy as an excuse, or their type as an excuse, or their centers as an excuse. And I think what I really love about you is you blow all of those silly dogma stereotypes up, because you are full of energy. And I think you've always had that intuitive knowing of how to manage your energy, and now you've really amped it up by tweaking it. You know, like, I do feel like you did come to the party pretty aligned. There was just like, cool, where's that 1%? And, you know, like, where the 1% is this is when people become world-class athletes. So the 1% is super important. Now, I want to ask you about something, because you said that the energy that's one-on-one when you're reading their energy, that's the tiring part. And instantly I'm like, so does it feel like you kind of plug into their energy? Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. And do you know what it is? It's really bizarre, Emma, because it's not actually, I wouldn't call it tiring. If anything, I get so much energy from it that I then tire myself out, because I get so lit up and turned on by it.
Yes.
So it's like I plug in and they plug into me, and, you know, we move mountains, and I get so lit up by it that it's almost like, you know, the light bulb almost explodes.
Yes. Oh my God.
Not
I
so
love
much,
it.
It's not a drain. So it's not like I'm being drained. It's anything, I'm being filled up, that it's like through me, that it's almost it can be overwhelming because I'm so lit up by it.
I love it. So has there been a time in your life where perhaps you were hanging out? Because the big thing with reflectors, for those out there, is the people that reflectors hang out with and the places, you know, the environments. So was there a time in the past? Obviously, I'm making the assumption that right now you are with people that make you feel good. They're of a high frequency. You live in a place that makes you feel good, that is a high frequency. You do the work that is high frequency. Is there a time in your life in the past that perhaps you weren't with the right people and places? And was your energy different then? Like, did you not have as much energy then? Tell me a bit about that.
Definitely. That is exactly what it is. And I try not to use it as an excuse, because I think I know I've certainly done this. My husband will be testament to it. I'm a reflector. I'm just reflecting you. So if I'm in a bad mood, just because you are, you know, so I have to take accountability for my own, you know, actions and energy. But even now, like, I do, I have an incredible, my proximity is incredible. Everyone, you know, it's all high frequency, self-led humans. However, you know, you still do come across some, you know, if someone's having a bad day or it's that low vibration, I feel it almost more intensely, I think, because I'm usually not in that frequency. So it's almost like... And then what I have found I was doing is compensating and trying to bring it up. That's where I tap out. That's where I will have a day where I might have had one conversation and I need to go lay down, because it's like I've just given so much to try and bring up this frequency that's not ready to be brought up. So it's just for a reflector, I don't know if others resonate with this, but for me, being around incredible proximity and self-led high frequency humans is so important to our energy.
Yeah. I love that. And it's really interesting because the other two girls that are going to be on the panel with you, they both have stories of how they literally just have walked into a room. And I think you've shared this similar story, that we walked into a room and some random human across the room, you're just like, I just have to go tell that person something. And you just have this awareness of what's going on. And you know, like, you can share this story or what the energy that you're reading, and you have this real awareness of it. Does that happen to you as well?
It's at a point where I've had to try and block it out, because I want to be invited to share that information. But do you know where I do it the most now? Social media. I'll see someone do a story and I won't even hear what they're talking about, but I'll just feel this energy and I'm like, oh, I need to tell them this. I'm like, Tiana, you can't just tell people things. Or, you know, if I'm out with my husband, I'll watch a couple having a conversation, can't hear it, can't see anything really. But I'm like, oh, I need to go tell her this. Or yeah, that's something that I've learned to almost tone down, because I believe we have to be invited to be able to share that.
Yeah. And look, I agree as well. I just got total goosebumps. I do agree. And I think that that's part of it. And if we're meant to share, there will be an opportunity to do that, you know, and each gate that we do have and that is activated does have, you know, manifestor energy or projector energy or generated energy. So it's always going to give you a bit of a clue in how to respond, whichever way you need to. But I so love that.
I wanted to say something before when we were talking about the non-energy types and this needing to rest and blowing up sort of the myths around it. What I think it is as well is, like, so for the projectors, manifestors and reflectors, a lot of the time we don't really need to rest, but it's not feeling guilty if you do. So when I am tired, because we're so conditioned to keep up with the rest of the population, it's almost like this guilt of, oh, I can't rest, you know, I need to keep going. I think that's what it is. It's like, you don't actually think you are a non-energy type. Just know that when you do feel that you need to rest, it's actually okay to, rather than I'm just a non-energy type. So it's like getting rid of that stereotype.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. And I actually think that this actually goes to generators and manifesting generators too. You know, we really need to be, but as we decondition, we free up a whole lot more energy. And what's important to understand is that we're going to have more energy the more that we decondition. However, our centers and our open centers are always going to be trying to process, run other people's energy. So we're all going to get tired. And even for me as a manifesting generator, because I only have four centers defined, I can get exhausted really quite easily. It's just that when I'm going. So I think that's a super important point. And it's something that I would hear a lot, especially from women, that it's about giving yourself permission to stop when you need to. And I think often with a projector type, especially, it's like just giving yourself permission to do less and to receive more. I think we all need to do that, but the projectors are really here to sort of role model that for everybody so that we can all pick it up along the way. But I think that's such an important point that all types need to give themselves permission to rest when they need to rest, because it's a game changer. So one of the things I want to talk about is codependency, because with reflectors, we read a lot and the sort of the knowledge is that there can be a tendency for the reflector to get lost in a relationship, in a group of people, because there's nothing consistent to hold on to. So the unresourceful expression of that can be codependency. The question that I have is that maybe earlier on in life, were there times where you felt like you sort of got lost in relationships or even questioned your, your variability and questioned how you sort of turned up differently all the time? Do you want to talk to that a little
bit? Yeah, definitely. I would definitely say earlier on in life, you know, my first few relationships of growing into an adult, I find that open G center for me, it comes into play a lot here. And it's that not really knowing who I'm going to be, depending on who I'm around, being, you know, having different groups of friends and people not really knowing how to connect with you because they see you in this other group and you're different, and then you're in this group and you're different. And it almost sometimes feels like you're playing Switzerland. You know, you're trying to keep but you're not. It's just who you are, because depending on who you're around, it's sort of the identity you can take on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely. And the codependency, my very first relationship, we won't go into it, but the codependency was best learning, because it's never happened again in my life. Yeah. You know, so it was a good learning, but that was something that I really held on to. I didn't know who I was, where I was going. The direction was just, I was all over the place. It felt good, but it didn't feel normal.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Like, it felt good to be like that in my human body, but it didn't feel, I felt like I wasn't a normal person, because everyone else was, you know, they had this group of friends, they showed up this way, they did this, and I did that, you know, all over the shop.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I so resonate with that. Again, this is why I love to kind of blow up type a lot, because I've got a completely open G center and I felt exactly the same. So I love that. So do you notice, given that people and places are so important, and, you know, in the past codependency has been an issue, and codependency is probably going to be an issue for a number of reflectors until they've done the work. And I think this is a question that I'm really fascinated by, because doing the work at some degree means that you're going to ask for help. You need to ask for help. And I'm curious, because I wonder if one of the hardest things for a reflector to do is ask for help, because people are constantly reflecting back to you who they are, not who you are. So in your journey to evolve, have you had experiences where you just like, dude, you're not seeing me? Does that resonate with you?
Do you know what? When people, I've heard that about reflectors not being seen, I'll be honest, I've never experienced that. But I do wonder if that's because majority of my life I've been conditioned not to be a reflector, so I haven't been acting like one. So I've always felt seen and heard in my relationships and with my friendships. I find, though, I still need to do some work around asking for help. It's something that I'm not overly great at, even to this day. And I think you're right. I feel like I'm always doing the assisting with helping as well, because I'm a 5'2". So, you know, I'm like a triple projection field.
No, far out. It's amazing.
What did you call me once? A mirror on legs.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I find that I like to be the solution. I like to be the hero and I like to help people, that I then need to lean into my vulnerability and ask for help. So it's something that I do need to definitely get better at. But I do find that people more come to me for help than me go to other people.
Yeah, I love it. And have you ever found in the past, and maybe even working with a coach or maybe even just sitting with a girlfriend, has there been that resonance of you're trying to have this conversation with someone? And I fully appreciate, like, you've been on the journey of personal development for a really long time. So you've been taking responsibility for your stuff for a long time. But what I'm curious about is this, you know, I remember when I first started studying one of these types that I nickname, and it, please people do not Google it. It's not a term. I made it up. The demi-reflectors. And I remember at the time my mentor, Kim, she said, be careful, Emma, be really careful because you're seeing you in her because she has so many open centers. And it's just made me really conscious that whenever I work with reflectors that I'm so, like, it exhausts me to work with a reflector because I'm so conscious not to be in myself, like not to be seeing through the frame of the unconscious construct that is my brain, like to be fully present, to be fully with you while I'm with you. So I'm curious, like, how that's received with people who aren't that aware and aren't that present and aren't getting out of their own heads. Like, what does that feel like to sort of have this person see themselves in you? Like, I reckon in my more unresourceful ages, I would have been constantly trying to justify and defend or, you know, something like that, as opposed to just going, oh, they just see themselves in me, whatever. Does that resonate with you at all?
Yeah, it does. And I think probably up until the last few years, I probably did do the unresourceful behavior of that. It's only now, because I'm aware of it, I'll hear them say something or do something, or the conversation, the way it leads, I'm like, oh, okay, they're actually talking to me and giving me advice, but they're actually giving it to themselves. Like, I can see, I'm intuitive enough to feel what's going on. Working, you know, with coaches and things like that, though, the one thing that I think reflectors, and then also it's so great if you know your reflector, I think it's wise to hire a coach that does know a little bit about human design. And the reason I say that is because they're conscious of their squeaky clean energy is something that I think is really important, because I've done both and I've had exceptional coaches in, you know, the last few years, but you really actually can pick up when you're challenging them, not because you're challenging them, because they're feeling themselves in you. So you can actually almost, as a reflector, it becomes very transparent.
Yeah.
And you can feel it. And then you can feel the challenge for that coach as well, which is not what the relationship should be. So I think it's knowing human design is really important. I believe for any reflector out there that's wanting, you know, a life or business coach, choose someone that knows human design if you are a reflector.
Yeah. I love it. And that was one of my questions. Like, what would your advice be to coaches and human design readers with reflectors and squeaky clean energy? That's pretty good advice. Anything else that you'd like them to know?
Yeah, I think if you're not sure on what you're feeling when you're speaking to the reflector and they know they're a reflector, just ask. You know, I've had an experience recently where every time I got on a call, I just started, like, there was a weird energy, and I started projecting onto them. They were probably projecting onto me. And then it wasn't until I was like, okay, we just need to have this conversation, because this is, I'm fine before I get on the call. And then I'm getting on the call and this doesn't feel right. And it was just that something massive was happening in this person's life behind the scenes.
Wow.
And that wasn't public knowledge, and nor should it be, but I was picking up on that.
Yeah.
So I think it's just about being, you know, for anyone out there working with reflectors, if you're unsure, be transparent, have the conversation, because the reflector's feeling it anyway.
Yeah.
And what can happen if they haven't done some of the work and deconditioned, they're going to identify with it and think that it's them. And I think that can be quite detrimental to a relationship.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I love it. That is gold. So tell me, what do people need to know if they're in a relationship with a reflector?
That the reflector is going to use the fact that the reflector is an excuse in every moment.
I love it. Oh, it's not me, it's you.
I use it all the time, like, just reflecting you back. What do they need to know? I do think, although I want to blow the myth out about not having energy, I think, you know, if you are in a relationship with a reflector, be mindful that the reflector is feeling the energy. They may not be absorbing it, but they're feeling it all the time, more than majority of people. And to know that if you're feeling it at 10%, they're probably feeling it at 50, 60. So just have some compassion around their energy if they're not able to keep up all the time. make sure you're allowing time out. If they have a hobby they like to do on their own, supporting that, you know, and also not being codependent with them. So the other way around as well, because that can feel really uncomfortable for a reflector as well.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's really powerful, because one thing that we do know about human design is that if it's in us and we're repressing it, it's going to turn up in someone else. So, you know, if you're repressing disappointment, you're going to be faced with someone who's disappointed in you, or so on. And I think that that's such an important point that, especially as people go through, and I don't mean you by any stretch of the imagination, but for the reflectors out there who are still working on things like codependency, if you're trying to shove it down and be like, okay, I can't be codependent, that's not the way to solve it. The way to solve it is to heal the why you're codependent. We know from an energetic point of view, it's because of an inconsistency that you've felt over your life. So you try to find consistency, but you still need to go through that process of healing whatever you think isn't, you know, whatever the story is, whatever the belief system is. You can still heal that and feel really safe and secure in relationships. So as a reflector, if codependency is turning up, if disappointment's turning up, and you're like, that's weird, because it's not in me, it will be in you. It'll be a part of you that is showing up in your external reality. Just to say, hello, I'm here. I need integrating into the rest of you. So you need to look at me. So using does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I love the way you put that. It's so true. And I think that's the, you know, I think sometimes, and I know two reflectors outside of myself, and we've all agreed we can use it as an excuse a lot of the time. And I think we don't need to use it as an excuse. If we're feeling it, it's not just the other person. It's like you said, it's the mirror, you know, it's going to keep showing up time and time again until you heal it. And I know in the mastermind, we did work on the shadows in our gates. And for me, that has been such, you know, especially in that gate 51, that has been such a big game changer for the way I operate now with relationships and people.
Yeah. And this is the truth. Like, so many people don't want to look at their shadow, but it's the stuff that sets you free. And, you know, we have the same conversation with the line fives, you know, like, oh, you're just projecting your stuff onto me. But I mean, I'm a line five, and I'm telling you as a behavioral coach that every single thing that's projected onto you, there is some part of you in that projection. You know, it just is. It always is, because that's quantum physics. You know, like attracts like. We're all a puzzle piece that must fit together. And if it's healed in you, then you can't attract it. Now, what you can experience, and probably what I imagine reflectors will attract a lot, is that once they've healed it in them, or they're at, you know, like, I don't know if we ever get to 100%, but if they, you know, if they're up in the 80%+ healed through something, then they are going to attract people that are going to walk in their shoes, but behind them, because they're ahead of, you know, and this is the same for anyone. So as long as you keep doing your own healing, then you're not going to be faced with the unresourceful stuff, and you'll be able to help people a lot more, which I think is, you know, why we're here, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's never ending.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's a healing journey. It's never ending.
Exactly. So tell me, from your point of view, when you're a kid, what do parents need to know if they have a reflector child?
Oh, that's a good one. I think allowing them freedom to explore who they want to be, because, you know, we grow up in a construct that kind of tells us who we need to be and how we should act. And I think as a reflector, that can be, that's where a lot of conditioning, I think, comes into play, where we start acting like, you know, a type that we're not. So I think definitely freedom to allow them, you know, one day they might want to be Elsa, dressed up as Elsa, the next day they might want to be Peter Pan, you know, and just to allow that freedom of expression is probably the most important thing. Yeah. I think as well, to make them feel seen, but invite them into things. Now, I know that is technically the signature of the projector, but I know for a reflector, because they can, you know, change identity and be different people at different times, to be invited makes them feel like they do have a belonging somewhere as well. So I think for young reflector children, I think that's really important. And the third thing is watch your reflector child in a room, because if they're feeling, if they gravitate towards a corner, or you can feel that they just don't look quite themselves, there's an energy in that room that's just not being conducive to them, that perhaps you need to help them remove themselves or remove them for 5 minutes. Kids are already so intuitive, but I think reflector children, when they walk into a room, I'm yet to meet a reflector child other than myself. I would love to meet one. I think when they walk into a room, they can, like, they know instantly whether the vibe of the room is there or not. So to allow them, if they're not happy and if their mood changes dramatically, to really get inquisitive with what's happening around them and not just project onto them that they're being naughty.
Yeah, I think that's golden advice. A friend of mine, her daughter's best friend is a reflector. So it's fascinating hearing the stories of this reflector child. It's so cool.
It'd be beautiful to watch, actually, because the kids are so intuitive already. So I can just imagine a reflector child just...
It's amazing. And you probably see the same thing as a mum, like how they all come together. You know, like my youngest and his best friend's a self-directed projector. And, you know, Oscar's got all of this energy and the two of them together just make this perfect unity. You know, I just love it. So I want to ask you about purpose and, you know, knowing yourself. You kind of touched on it before, but this is something we hear a lot about the reflectors, that they don't have and I suppose I also ask this because I've got an open G center, I've heard this forever, you know, like if you've got an open G center, then you're just never going to have that real consistency of direction and purpose. And I suppose partially it's true, but for me, I definitely know my purpose now. I know my direction. It's not crispy clear and it kind of changes and shifts a bit, but I'd love to hear from your point of view. The language that we use is don't ask a reflector to tell you who they are or put themselves in a box. Do you feel like you know who you are and you're connected to who you are on the inside?
Definitely. So to answer firstly the purpose, that is something up until probably the last 6 months, and you would know this even just from working together, that I was always, I don't know my purpose. I don't know where I'm heading. But I know who I am. I am so clear on my standards, you know, that I have for myself, you know, that I want to hold myself to. I'm very clear who I am. So if you ask me who I was, I could tell you that. However, if you ask me my purpose, I'm very clear as to what I want to do and who I want to help and the dream that I want to bring. But that, I'm so clear, is going to continue to evolve. So before, where I was trying to make it fit in a box, now it doesn't have to. Because I know what I've started now is going to evolve so many times over, but that's okay. And I'm okay with that as long as I know who I am and what my standards are for myself.
Oh, my God, I love that. It's so good. And I totally resonate, you know, totally resonate. And for me, I've got this real connection to my personality, sun gate. And whenever I think, oh, you know, whenever the mind gets involved, I'm like, oh, peace. I'm sweet. I know what my North Star is. And I think that no matter what type you are, I think that your words are so incredibly important and powerful, is that I believe that purpose is a feeling. And when you're on purpose, if you follow the feeling, you don't need to have the crispy, clear, exact, this is who I'm becoming. So just focus on what you do know. Just focus on the feeling that does feel right and head in that direction. And you're going to be the universe is not going to just leave you hanging. She's going to, you know, put things in your way so that you can understand who you are. And I think this piece of knowing who you are, and we're really talking about now, we're moving into a time that's so much more spirit. I don't want to use the word identified, but we are so much more connected to our spirit and our soul. And, you know, like, I know who I am. Can I put that into words that are detailed, succinct, and clear? Probably not. But if you gave me a week, I might. So I think that this is the other thing with reflectors, is that you guys have access to such wisdom and potential. You know, reflectors see the potential of energy. That's what an undefined center or gate or anything that's white in your chart, it's all about the ability to see the potential of energy. And it's like, you guys get all of this opportunity, and why would you want to put yourself in a fucking box? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you get access to all that all the time, why would you want to? Why would you want to bring yourself, you know, down and shove yourself into something smaller than you are? And, you know, a number of reflectors I've now met, they are actually like powerful networkers or jack of all trades, or like the shit they can get done. And the one of the things I'm just realizing now as I'm sort of talking to you, or with you, is that they all the reflectors that are just off this planet, like you, I just think that you're extraordinary. Like you are just amazing. And what they don't do is they don't get caught up with who they need to be. They let go of their ego. They're on the ride. They're enjoying life, and they're so all in. You know, they're so all in, and they've got this thing that, as human beings, we're not very good at, is this ability to sit in uncertainty. Because they're so used to uncertainty, it actually becomes one of their superpowers. And this uncertainty kind of takes them on the little stepping stones from one thing to the next to the next. And they're quite fine. I think that a lot of this, you know, they don't know their purpose, or they can feel really disconnected, or they don't know who they are, is really coming from a low consciousness, a really low expression of the reflector. Because honestly, I have not yet spoken to one lost reflector, not one. I've spoken to lots of lost every other type, but I've not met a lost reflector yet. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, it does. And I think if you're, you know, if there's a new reflector listening to this, you know, and they've just learned their reflector, that at first can feel like, I remember hearing that, something very similar to what you said, and I'm thinking, but I do feel lost. I don't know what I'm doing. Know that it comes full circle, and you actually do end up going, ah. So the doing every day, the enjoying every moment, is the signature theme of the reflector. And it took me so long to understand that that is my purpose. And, you know, I know we talk a lot about being lit up is for generators, you know, do what lights you up. But I believe it's for all types. I think if you're just doing every day what feels good to you, then like you said, the universe is going to leave you hanging. You're going to follow in the path that you're meant to follow in. And, you know, what I started 6 months ago to where it is today is completely not what I could have even imagined. It's better. So I think you need to just follow what feels good for you and you only, and the rest will come.
Yeah, I so agree. And do you think, because I believe that the reason why things are so different in the last 6 months for you and for anyone who's really deconditioned, it's exactly that. Like the hardest and the easiest thing that you can do with human design is stop making decisions from your mind and start making decisions from your authority. Like as soon as you do that, like I will often look where I am now and just to remind myself, like, do I have those things that I wanted in the past? Do I have a clear 3-year plan, 5-year plan, 10-year plan? Nah, like I know where I want to be, but it's no different to the way it was when I felt really lost. You know what I mean? You know, and I would constantly ask myself about, even like, my brand is always changing. Do I feel more confident around that now than I did? Yes, I do. What's different? Just the way I view it. You know, it's not the actual being, it's the deconditioning. It's the loving myself more. And this is the same for everyone, accepting ourselves. Like that's what our human design does for us. It helps us accept who we are energetically. The deconditioning. So stop telling yourself stupid stories that are really unresourceful and total bullshit. You're awesome because you're on the planet. You're awesome. And I think that would it resonate with you to say that the biggest shift from the last 6 months is not what you've picked up, but what you've put down?
Oh, yes, you've just summed it up so perfectly, 100%. And, you know, before when you mentioned, you know, do you know who you are, I think what comes into play, and this is for any type as well, yes, I know who I am, but do I still get really inspired by other people and want to take on a bit of that identity? Yeah, at times I do, you know, especially because, you know, we're in a world where we've got all this inspiration, open head center, you know, open G center. Yeah, I do want to, but as long as you truly know who, you know, what your values and morals are, you're going to come back to that compass every time, you know, and that's for me now with whatever purpose I'm meant to live, I know what my moral compass is and I know what I'm here to do in terms of my values and ethics, and however that plays out is absolutely okay.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, I think have we covered everything? Have I covered everything that you need to share about being a reflector?
I think so. I love it. We've blown up some myths. I think, you know, to your point before about reflectors can see pure potential, that would be one of our biggest gifts, I would say. It's the gift I'm noticing the most at the moment, is we can read the energy and just notice the pure potential. We can see it before it hits the room. And I think reflectors, if you have reflectors in your life, tap into that, because, you know, ask them for their wisdom, because they can feel it, they can see it, and they can help guide you.
Yeah, I love it. And I'm going to add to that, you know, with the caveat, make sure their energy is squeaky clean. I actually had an intuitive reading with Johanna that you're going to meet on Wednesday, another reflector. And I have never had anyone read my energy so clearly. I burst into tears. I was like, she could see things about me that no one else had ever seen, and value, you know, like worth, like things that were so, so deep. So I just think you're also magical. And you know, like even on the masterminds, some of the insights that you would bring or the things that you would put to like, and from my point of view, like I'm a very, like my brain is good. I see the patterns. I'm really good at putting logical things together, rah, rah, rah. But the way I see you and other reflectors read energy, it's a game changer. I think it's beautiful. And we should stop calling you precious little unicorns and actually see you for the freaking powerhouses you actually are.
Oh, look, I'm happy to be called a unicorn.
Both. Let's just do both, says the manifesting generator. Let's call you lots of names. Well, Tiana, thank you so much for joining me. It's just been so much fun, and I can't help but still be miraculously just so curious about the reflector. But thank you so much for spending time with me today and sharing your story with everybody else.
Oh, so welcome. I have absolutely loved this. I will take any opportunity to be in your energy, so thank you.
Yay! Me too. It's right back at you, babes. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to these type podcasts. I have heard you loud and clear. They have been so well received that I'm actually going to start doing a really similar model for you guys and go through the authorities. So stay tuned for that. All right, everyone, I'm going to let you go. Thanks again to Tiana. It's been lovely having you here, and I look forward to having you all on the next podcast. Bye for now. Thanks, everyone, for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast, or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.